Better than this, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this, guys, being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts on this Friday edition of the show, here to conclude the March edition of our predictive mock draft with picks 21 through 32. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Hello, sir. It's Friday. Just want to be clear what day it was before we got started.
I nailed it.
I want to make sure we really hammer it home so that there's no doubts. Leave no doubt, as they say.
Yeah, nobody. Well, I guess if you have a Monday through Friday job, you're off tomorrow. So could you imagine me saying Thursday? People thinking it's Thursday, ruining their whole thing, going to work on a Saturday.
It'd be terrible. No, I can't. Can't imagine it all.
Do
we need to recap what's happened thus far?
Okay, yeah, you do the first 10.
We probably should. Yeah. Okay, I'll do the first 10. All right, so begrudgingly took Kyler Murray, number one to Arizona, Nick Bosa, two to San Francisco, Juwan Taylor, three to the Jets, Josh Allen, four to the Raiders, Quinnen Williams, five to the Bucks, Montez Sweat, six to the Giants, DK Metcalf, seven to the Jacksonville Jaguars, Devin White to the Lions, Christian Wilkins to the Bills, and Devin Bush to the Broncos.
11, Drew Lock to the Bengals. 12, Brian Burns to the Packers. 13, Jonah Williams to the Dolphins. 14, Ed Oliver to the Falcons. 15, Daniel Jones to the Redskins. Sorry, guys. 16, Rashawn Gary to the Panthers. 17, Dwayne Haskins to the Giants. Cody Ford, 18 to the Vikings. Garrett Bradbury, 19 to the Titans. Greedy Williams, 20 to the Steelers.
And now the Seattle Seahawks are on the clock. We got 12 picks to make, Joe.
Oh.
I'm on the clock for the Seahawks, and I have some exciting options at my disposal here. So I'm looking up and down the board, but there's a player that stands out to me, Joe. You know who this could possibly be?
Oh, I know. I know exactly who you're picking.
Yeah, who's that?
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
You are absolutely right. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, safety, nickel defender, going from Florida to the Seattle Seahawks. Really love, you know, a team that has really had some difference makers in the secondary, and they've made this overhaul over the course of the last couple years and now losing Earl Thomas. And that's not to say Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's going to fulfill the same role as what you would get with Earl Thomas, but at the same time, he's a difference maker in the secondary all the same. He's very, very versatile. Can play man coverage in the nickel. He can roam around the shallows. You can walk him up on the edge and blitz him off the edge. He's really effective doing that. And he's got the athletic ability to be an effective back end guy as well.
Yeah, that's secondary, dude. Something else in Seattle after it being like their identity for like a long time. It is needing to be reworked. And CGJ is a good pick. I have the Baltimore Ravens at number 22. And I've got a young quarterback in Lamar Jackson that I'm not too excited about who he's throwing the football to in terms of his wide receivers. I mean, I like Willie Snead as much as the next guy. And Jordan Lasley's okay. But we need a dude. We need a guy that Lamar can really trust to work the football to. You saw the best versions of Lamar at Louisville when things were clicking between him and Jalen Smith. And we're not taking
him, Jalen Smith.
I just realized as I started saying that I might have steered people in the wrong direction. He did have a way better 40 time than I ever imagined from him. But no, I think that the receiver I'm going to pair him with here at number 22 is Baltimore native Hakeem Butler from Iowa State. Really tall, really athletic, can go up and get the football. He can block. Man, there were some reps on tape where that dude was just like he was blocking like you would expect a guy of his size to do, just literally just tossing dudes around. And I think that he gives more value in the short and intermediate areas than maybe he gets credit for, as well as a vertical receiving skill set. Now, the big concern with Hakeem is that he's got his share of drops, some really frustrating concentration drops at times that are annoying. And, you know, look, there's some build-up speed there, but I think that Butler would be the right type of, of player to come in and give Lamar a guy that he can just trust to make plays in the ball. And that's what Baltimore needs.
Yeah, I've really warmed on this pick, Joe. You know, we fought this for a while and we talked about separation versus size. And I've gone back and watched Hakeem like 3 times.
Really?
The first time I came away, I was like, the drops are frustrating. I don't think he addresses the ball all that well when he's squared to the football. And he didn't do a great job in the games that I watched getting off press coverage. And I watch more and more and more. And it's like, okay, well, he doesn't get off press coverage really well. But then you watch him at the catch point making some of these body adjustments that he's making. And that's not to suggest that he's a tight athlete. It's not to say he can't get better in that area and he can't get better addressing the football, because obviously he's got some great catches on film. So I've kind of come around on the upside of him. That's something I'm trying to be more of this year than any other year, because in past years, it's really got me in trouble. You know, you watch a guy, you write him down and you say, okay, you know, I watched him. I saw what I saw. This is my grade. But having so many great minds in the same room with the Draft Network and being exposed to you guys, and you know, I still do my due process and I still watch these players. And then I talked to John. John came away, I think John's got Hakeem Butler in the top 20.
Yep.
And so that was really a catalyst for me to say, okay, let's go back and just try and watch Hakeem 2 more games with an open mind. And kind of saw some of the things that John had referenced and made some small adjustments. I'm not overhauling my grade or anything like that. I still don't have Hakeem Butler as like a top 3 wide receiver in this class, but I've come around on the player and what he presents. And I'm a little bit warmer on this pick than I was the last time we did one of these, Joe, and we literally fought about like, no, he needs Hollywood Brown, a guy that can separate. Well, now Hollywood's not going to first round, period. And it's a different style of player, but I still like it for Baltimore more than I did last month. Houston Texans on the clock at 23. This is the easiest pick I will make all day. Andre Dillard is still on the board. Andre Dillard is going to be the new starting left tackle for the Houston Texans. They took some raw upside guys, and Dillard's a guy that has a little bit of rawness with his hands, I feel like, especially. But the way he frames blocks is really, really effective. I like that component of his game. And if he has that level of mastery in a single part of his game, what's to say, as he's asked to do different kinds of pass sets, that he won't continue to flesh out those other pieces of his game as well? So Andre Dillard, elite athlete for the position, but really it just comes down to, does he have baseline strength? Can he get better at his areas of concern, which for me is his hands? And he has really great footwork. Those things all check boxes. Going to take it for Houston.
Yeah, nice to see Brian Gain is now awake and doing something.
Making some moves.
Are we sure he doesn't believe in Sean Terrell Henderson and Julian Davenport? Well, no.
They said they would like Sean Terrell to be the starting right guard.
I know. I was at that press conference.
What are you doing? Get out of here.
And he was like, Julian Davenport in year 3, he's ready. I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing, brother? 62 wow. Sacks? Come on now. All right, so I've got the Oakland Raiders. Number 24. Needs on top of needs, players on top of players. But I think there's a player here that I just don't think he can slide any further. And I'm talking about TJ Hockenson, tight end from Iowa. They got another pick here at 27, and I'm going to trust my co-general manager that makes a pick at that time to get a certain player. And I'm going to go ahead and snatch up the tight end there. They just lost Jared Cook, who it felt like it was inevitable that he was always going to sign with the Saints, and so now Jared Cook's gone. You saw how important he was for that offense, and maybe they're not a one-for-one stylistic, but you get a really good blocker in TJ Hockenson, and you have a dynamic receiver as well, a guy that I think gives you some physical components, wins after the catch, and still has that seam-busting ability as well. So Kyle probably would have went Fant, but I'm making this pick, and I'm going Hockenson.
I don't hate it.
You know, I know you don't
hate it. Top 15 players for me, so... Philadelphia Eagles now on the clock with the 25th overall pick. And I am, Joe, conflicted. I'm conflicted with you all right over there? What was that?
It was a little ice in my cup. Sorry.
Okay. Well, is it a red Solo cup?
No, it's just a pink plastic cup. Yep.
It sounds like a noisy cup.
It's got ice in it, man.
I'm conflicted between team needs and value of a player. And I'm looking at a couple names here for the Eagles. I'm looking at Nasir Adderley, safety from Delaware. I'm looking at Josh Jacobs, running back from Alabama. Not really in love with any of these offensive tackles that's on the board for what the Eagles like to do, especially because they need a pure left tackle. They want to keep Lane Johnson on the right side there and get ready for Jason Peters' departure. I'm going to give them Josh Jacobs, Joe. Eagles snatching up Josh Jacobs, Joshua Jacobs, who came out and ran 4.6 flat in the 40, and everybody lost their minds. Who cares?
It's fine. It's a fine time.
It's fine. It's fine. I guarantee you, if you're standing directly in front of Josh Jacobs and he's running 4.6 with his thighs that are as big around as my shoulders, you're not going to want to get in the way. That's the kind of player that he is. He's a physical, angry runner, and I'm not going to mitigate his skills because he ran 4.6. I think the Eagles are one of the few teams that could realistically draft a running back. We're surprised by one of these running backs in the first round almost every year at this point. You know, there was a while where it was like, oh, his first round running backs are dead. And then we had the big push, and then last year was Saquon Barkley, and then Rashad Penny went in the 20s. And
Sony Michel?
Sony Michel went 20.
Whatever the Patriots pick was. Yeah. No, he was late. He
no,
was
he, the they had two, right? Or did they take Isaiah Wynn?
They took Isaiah Wynn first. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, yeah, here we are. Philadelphia Eagles checking a box and a need. They're operating within their winning window right now. They need to have players that are able to have this offense click on all cylinders. So I'm going to have them take Josh Jacobs.
All right, I've got the Indianapolis Colts here, and I did Lockdown Colts yesterday. So check out the fabulous work there as part of the Lockdown Pack Podcast Network. You can hear me talk very specifically about the Colts' needs. And one thing that Chris Ballard hasn't been shy about is making it known that he's in the market for a pass rusher. And I'm going to pull the rug out from underneath the Oakland Raiders here, who pick at number 27. And I'm going to get the pass rusher. Maybe I should have had them take it 24. And we're going to go with Cleveland Farrell from Clemson here, who I think would fit very well.
How'd you put that pressure on me to make that pick if you were just going to make it before I even got on the board with the
Raiders?
You know,
I forgot that I
was
also
fair.
I also forgot I was the general manager of the Colts as well. This is hard.
Deck.
Wearing a lot of hats here, Kyle. And I got to take care of the team at hand, which is the Colts. And we're going to give them – my dogs are excited for the pick. The male's here, evidently. But we're
lots
going Cleveland. Yeah. So anyways, Matt Eberflus, 4-3 system. I think that he's tailor-made for that. Obviously, you know, you don't think about Farrell as the most dynamic athlete as an edge rusher, but he's super technical. He's long, knows how to use his hands, and I think he'd be very much fitting the bill in terms of what the Colts are looking for at as a pass rusher on the edge.
Okay. So now we're at a juncture for the Raiders where you've boxed me in. Now, we had the Raiders taking Josh Allen at 4. You still wanted Cleveland Farrell?
I forgot about that as well. Not a great not a great comprehensive GM, you know?
You and your pink cup and your noisy dogs are just too much to handle.
At least I knew what day of the week it was, Kyle.
What day is it?
Well, it was technically Thursday, but tomorrow's Friday when this launches.
There you go. Yeah, you're on top of your game, man. It's good. So the Raiders have picked Josh Allen and TJ Hockenson. So as we look over the board, they just traded for Antonio Brown. So it kind of mitigates the pressing need to take maybe a N'Keal Harry. So it makes me more lukewarm on that kind of pick. I'm looking at these other positions of need listed for the Raiders. We have corner, linebacker, interior offensive line. Looking at the players available, the talent available, I'm going to go with a corner here, Joe, but it's not the corner you're probably expecting in Byron Murphy. Because the NFL has this bad habit of letting small corners fall further than they should and thus getting upset and angry about it. And I would not be surprised to see Byron be a little bit of a victim of this and slide a little later than we think he should go. So who's the pick? Georgia corner DeAndre Baker.
Oh, gross.
Really good ball skills. He's not going to be a great turn and run guy unless you have him inside the contact window. to play bump coverage and then getting guys hit pockets and play in phase. I know there's some questions about DeAndre regarding some work ethic and attitude questions, but the Raiders are a team that's always kind of been more friendly to those kinds of players. They just traded for Antonio Brown, who has some attitude questions of his own. And Baker's physical. He's a good tackler. His effort issues don't arise on the football field. He plays hard. So I'm going to fill a need here with a player that I think, Joe, will be surprised how early he does go in the draft with DeAndre Baker.
Really? You want to do a bet on this one?
Baker and Conley.
You think Baker? Send me the over-under on DeAndre Baker.
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to look at the early second round. I'll give it to you by the end of the podcast.
All right.
I'm going to do some research while you're picking Dexter Lawrence for the Chargers.
I'm not picking Dexter Lawrence for the Chargers.
You fool.
Well, I got something else in mind as the general manager of the Chargers right now being predictive.
Is it a pink cup with ice?
No. I'm looking at a pink cup with ice, but it's not who I'm picking for the Chargers. I'm not crazy what we got going over here at right tackle here for the Chargers with Sam Tevy. Actually, the whole right side of this line of Schofield and Tevy is something that I don't really like. I'd love to see Forrest Lamp win that right guard job and put him next to Pouncey. But I think that one of the key things in preserving Phil Rivers here and Anthony Lynn wants to run the ball is making sure that this front five is solidified. And the guy that I think really can fit and really upgrade this offensive line immediately is Dalton Risner from Kansas State, who, I think he can play four or five positions on the offensive line. I'm fine with him at right tackle. He's going to give them some nasty and also really give them some pass blocking security there on the right side there, where in that division where you got guys like Von Miller coming off the edge and, well, I guess nobody in Kansas City anymore or Oakland. Now we got Josh Allen here based on this draft. But I just feel like it's important for them to get this offensive line right, to really be the team they want to be offensively and make sure that Phillip Rivers is protected here at the back end of his career. So for me, I want to go with the offensive line, even though defensive tackle is a need. They did just sign Darius Filon back, and I think they gave Brandon Mebane an extension. So Corey Legit's up after the season. He's up right now. So there's that. I don't know if it's as big of a need as possible. They gave Filon like five a year. So I'm going to go with the offensive lineman here in Dalton Risner.
Okay. Kansas City Chiefs on the clock. Joe, you know what the Kansas City Chiefs need?
Defense.
And if there's a team that's okay with small corners, it's Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm going to go ahead and end this slide for Byron Murphy that I set the table for. Right now, Kansas City Chiefs, one of their starting corners last year, Steven Nelson, is another guy that's not overly large as far as his stature. And Byron Murphy is a much more quick-footed player, reactive player, sticky player than a Steven Nelson. So if they were willing to roll with a guy like Steven Nelson, that tells me this is a team that's okay with having guys that don't necessarily meet X, Y, and Z thresholds from a size perspective to play. And Murphy can ball. So that really, really helps. Of course, the trade of Dee Ford puts some pressure on the edge situation. But right now we're looking at edges Chase Winovich and Ja'Kai Polite. And I'm sorry, you can give me Byron Murphy 10 times out of 10 over both of those guys.
That's a great pick for Kansas City if that were to happen. I have the Green Bay Packers, number 30, who have had an aggressive offseason so far in free agency. Not really used to this much activity in Green Bay, and big moves to get some pass rushers in Za'Darius and Preston Smith. Adrian Amos was a wonderful pickup at safety. I thought they had a big need at right guard, and they gave some pretty good money to Billy Turner to be that guy. And so what I think they've done, and obviously we gave him Brian Burns in this draft at 12. So with their second pick in the first round, Noah Fant, the tight end. I feel like this is that X factor that we've so long wanted for Aaron Rodgers. They've really never had a guy that really got on the same page with Rodgers and gave them that dynamic presence as a receiver at tight end. And I feel like Fant can do that right away. I know they've got Mercedes Lewis and Jimmy Graham already in the fray there, but you know, who's the long-term guy and who can give them a spark right now? And I think they get both of those things with Fant. And I think Green Bay's done well to set themselves up to take an X-factor player like Fant and would be great value here at this point in the first round.
Yeah, it's great value. And I'm on the clock now with the LA Rams at 31. And Joe, this is a challenging board to look at for the Rams, because the Rams have somehow managed to continue to build on their roster despite having a lot of expensive players, and they just keep bringing guys back. And so I'm looking up and down the needs list here. I'm looking up and down the available talents, and I'm really lukewarm on a lot of the options here. Their listed needs: edge, linebacker, corner. There is not a linebacker worth taking at 31. I am sorry, Mac Wilson. The dream is over. I will not slot you in this spot. Ran 4.7. And, geez, I'm really struggling here, Joe. You have any names that flash to you? I'm going to phone a friend here. I want to hear if you have any names yourself.
For me, if I was thinking about this, I'd be thinking cornerback, just because I think Peters and Tlaib are both up after this year. And for the Rams, the way that the roster is built, I think attacking premium positions is always going to be important. I think they're always going to sign guys every year. Get used to it. They're going to sign guys like Weddle and Clay Matthews, guys like that that become available, that give them, you know, a veteran that is looking to
depth.
Yeah, exactly. And really that wants to extend their career for a contender. Like, I think they're always going to go after those types of players. But is in terms of this corner situation beyond this year, like, they need to have something in place. And so guys like Justin Lane, Amari O. Yep. Yeah, I mean, those are the guys I'd think about.
Justin Lane's the one that's flashing at me. So I'll go ahead and pull the trigger. You did a nice job kind of setting the table. I know this was not your pick, but your analysis is spot on. So Justin Lane it is.
So I get to pick for the Patriots, and there are some options here. And there's a big part of me that I saw, and I'm not going to take credit for this. I saw Lance Zierlein for NFL.com. He put out mock draft on the 21st, which was Thursday, and it had the Patriots taking Jeffrey Simmons. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the most Patriot thing of all time. And I was like behind that, and I was about to do it, and I'm thinking to myself, can they really do that? As much as I think Belichick does want to be mindful of the future, you kind of have this window.
You don't care anymore. Yeah.
This window's got to be closing down a little bit here. And so you've got to get a guy that can help you in 2019, in my opinion. And I think, you know, obviously two big losses on the defensive line with Malcolm Brown, who's been a starter for them, as well as Trey Flowers. You know, they were able to get Michael Bennett back. And I'm gonna go with Tillery. There, you did that yesterday like four times, and it didn't work. But this time it did. So getting that defensive tackle that I think has immediate impact upside, and you know, I like Tillery a lot. I thought he had good senior season, really put it all together. Like his traits, he tested well, and I think he can really step in and be a guy that they need in the middle there. Because right now they're gonna roll with, like, who is it, Lawrence Guy and Adam Butler? Like, nah, dude, that ain't going to be your D tackles on a good defense. So give me Tillery here.
Okay, so looking over the board, we have three players that were in our predictive big board inside the top 32 that were not picked. N'Keal Harry, A.J. Brown, Nasir Adderley. Any of those names surprise you more than the others?
Adderley, maybe. But I think you and I, as we get deeper in this class, I think we're more comfortable with some of the day two safeties. And because of that, you know, you think about addressing that later if you have to get a safety. To me, I guess. Extending a little bit beyond that, like, the other thing for New England instead of Tillery, if they're going to go defensive tackle, is Dexter Lawrence, who I think was kind of like definitely in play for this consideration as well.
Okay, so now it's time to talk to DeAndre Baker.
All right.
I'm going to set the over-under at 32.5. Do you think he's a first-round pick?
So what's super hard about this is, like, we know the NFL takes cornerbacks high.
Right.
And there's not a lot of really quality cornerback prospects in this draft. And
right. Like, the only one that did not go in the first round of our mock is probably Amanio.
Yeah.
Maybe Julian Love.
That's so weird to me. Do you think that Amanio goes in the first round?
I do not think Amanio will go in the first round, though.
The thing about Baker is that he tested bad.
He didn't test bad, though.
He's in the 37th percentile for 40, 26th percentile for broad, and 43rd percentile for bench. That's the only three things he did. Not even the 50th percentile for anything he did.
People thought he was going to run 4.6. He ran 4.5 flat at his pro day. He ran 4.52 at the combine. I know what he ran at the combine.
I mean, the best thing about Baker's postseason is that he measured better than I thought. He's 5'11", 193 with 32-inch arms.
The 32-inch arms are big.
But here's the thing. Like, multiple different people that I trust have really said some concerning things about his type of attitude, his work ethic, his just doesn't train. Okay.
That's not my point, though.
Yeah, but no, the point
did that stop Robert Kendiche from going in the top 25?
Man, it's different. I think that teams are not going to want to, like, he's not that good where I'm going to overlook serious concerns about him as a person.
So you're taking the over on 32.5.
It should be. I should take
the over. That's not the question. Is should you? Question is, are you?
The only thing that makes me think otherwise is that the NFL loves cornerbacks and he has good tape.
And look at these teams in the back end that need a corner.
Right. I mean, it's, you set the Oakland, appropriate odds.
Oakland, Kansas City, the Rams, the Patriots always take defensive backs. You don't have to take the bet. That's what I would set the over under on.
I think I've made it clear that it's a difficult bet for me. He should not be one of the first 32 picks in the draft.
Okay, so then you don't want to take the bet. That's fine.
I mean, I'll take the bet in terms of, I'm not putting anything on it. I'll tell you that.
No, okay, then we're not. I want conviction if you're going to take the bet.
You can't do it.
Yeah, then you're out. Yeah. So I set a good odds there.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah.
Okay. Folks, let us know if you think DeAndre Baker will go in the top 32 picks. You can tweet at us. Joe is at the Joe Marino. I'm at Grinding the Tape. Thanks, as always, for carving out some time to listen to the Draft Dudes podcast. We hope you guys have a great, great weekend. Enjoy the AAF games, and we will catch up with you all again on Monday.